Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Thank you so much. Good to be here again. Feeling just a little bit rusty because the last time I spoke was about 3 months ago. So feel like maybe I'm getting a little bit out of practice. And in fact, the last time I spoke was at Osmond Park. So keeping it sort of in the family here with speaking. So we've been away, been up north, towing a caravan up to Kununurra, back again. So that was an interesting experience. And then when we got back, we flew across to Sydney and Canberra to see our sons and their families. So that's why we've sort of had this large gap. But it's going to be busy coming up the next month or two. And if you ever remember us, again after this morning, to pray for us, I will really appreciate it. Maybe we won't come into your minds after today, but if we ever do, please pray for us because of the busyness of the next few weeks. Part of that will be flying up to KL and speaking at a seminar there, and so that will be a fresh challenge. So here we are today to worship the Lord and to listen to His Word. So I'd like you to look at the passage that will be on the screen here. And it's from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And the passage, the title that I've given this message is This Grace. And you'll understand why as we read the passage, which is on the next screen. So here we go. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Lovely passage. So much in it. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing upon this time as we share your word. We love your word. We love you. And we pray that you will just make your word very real in our hearts. And may there be some bread for our souls, we pray. Some meat, some drink for our hearts, we pray. That will help us to grow in our faith and our walk with you. Precious Holy Spirit, we know we are totally dependent upon you. And so we just invite your presence and blessing among us. In the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, but every now and again I'll pick up my tablet or my phone and I'll read some news item, usually from the ABC, which is where my app is. I've got some problems here. Okay, so it has a green light, so hopefully it's picking something up. Can everyone hear me all right? Okay, good. I'm trying to. So, when I picked up the ABC News app and had a look at some news items, I saw that in China, they were burning crosses on buildings. Wherever they, I don't know if all of them were, but just quite a number of prominent crosses in China that were on buildings have been burned. And also, I saw in one of their news item pictures a picture of a crane going right up to a church building, and there were people taking down the cross from the building. Because apparently, according to this news item, the Chinese government are becoming very nervous about Christians and their faith, and they wanted to take away this symbol of the cross from the buildings where Christians were meeting. Now, this is nothing new, because down through history, crosses have been taken away from people and buildings and burnt. On the other hand, crosses have been held up high, and celebrate it for a very important reason, and that is the cross has become the symbol of Christianity. Why is that? Well, of course, everything that we have and everything that we are as Christian people comes because of the cross of Jesus. And that's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else but the cross of Jesus Christ. So the cross is so important to us as Christian believers. Well, some years ago, I think about 8 years ago, Hillsong decided that they would display, I think it was at their Easter advertising and promotion, a little symbol which was a cross and an equals and a heart. A cross, an equals, and a heart. And of course that is cross equals love. And so this is what they did, and they've been doing that now for something like 8 years. But do you know that that symbol has gone around the world? Cross equals love. But when you read this passage today, I think we could equally say that cross equals grace. Because all the way through this passage in the Bible, we read that grace represents all that we have and all that we are as Christians. So grace comes to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. So cross equals grace, or grace equals cross. And so we're going to look today at what this grace is all about. Our passage starts off by saying, if I can remember what it says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The grace of God has appeared. Now, when the Bible talks about the grace of God appears unto salvation, which is our first title up here, it means that the generous gift of Jesus' life and death and resurrection has appeared. So when the title says grace has appeared, it's really saying that Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. And when the word appearance is used, it's a strange but very important word. When it says that grace appeared, we get the idea of, you know, if we talk about something appearing, we just talk about it coming out of nothing. It's a strange, almost magical word. It appeared. A person appeared. So what is this trying to say? Well, it's trying to say that God sent Jesus. This was not just a man being born. This was not just a baby in a manger. This was an appearance. This was God sending Jesus. So what we have here is God's grace coming to us in the person of Jesus, who was divinely sent. Now, the interesting thing is, as I was reading through this passage this week, I noticed that the word appearance comes at the end of the passage as well, because it says we're waiting for his appearance. And so in other words, the grace of God, or the gospel and all that it means, has come to us from God, and in the meantime we wait for it to be finished when Jesus comes back again, and he's going to appear again, and we're waiting for that second appearance. So he has appeared, our lives have been changed, and he will appear again. And so everything that we have in the gospel and in grace and through the cross has come from God. And so the manifestation of all that we have as people of God comes from God himself. So we have a look at a scripture that tells us this as well over the next... I've just got them listed there for you. I'll read them out. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. And then John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Okay, so even though we read in this passage that Jesus did appear and he will appear, Jesus continues to appear to us, not with our physical vision, but in our hearts. Jesus continues to appear. And so we need to be open to the fact that this grace is a grace of God's salvation coming to us through the initiative of God, and it's through his Holy Spirit allowing God and Jesus to come to us. So in other words, the grace of God still comes to us. The grace of God comes to us where we're sitting in our seats right now, if our hearts can be open and our minds can be believing. Jesus comes to us. This work of God is the work of God's appearance in our lives. Let me read you a quote from Charles Spurgeon, someone that we read every morning and every evening in our private devotions at home. He says, "Nevertheless," talking about conversion, "nevertheless, it is a change which is known and felt, known by works of holiness and felt by gracious experience. The great work is supernatural. It is not an operation which a person performs for oneself. A new principle is infused, which works in the heart, renews the soul, and affects the entire person." So if you can just follow my train of thought here a little, what this passage is saying is this grace has appeared, and in time to come it will again appear. But in the meantime, the grace of God is still appearing, is still manifesting in our lives. And this grace that we believe in is something that's supernatural. It comes to us. And may the Holy Spirit this morning open our minds and open our hearts so that the grace of God may come to us and Jesus may visit us again. So let's learn a little bit more about this grace. Secondly, we find that the grace is to say no. The grace to say no, verse 12a. It is grace that teaches and enables us to say no to ungodliness. Now, where are we? Okay, if we can move on, I think a couple of slides. We'll move on a couple of slides. Thanks very much. So the Greek word for teaches us, it says there that grace to say no teaches us and enables us to say no to ungodliness. The Greek word doesn't just mean to instruct, but it actually means to train. In other words, to equip and to skill us for saying no to ungodliness. So we might say, well, what's ungodliness all about? If you turn to that passage there, you don't need to turn to it, I'll read it to you. But if you did turn to it, this is what you'd find, that the acts of the flesh are obvious. And we might ask, well, what is ungodliness? Well, he's saying it's obvious what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, this is not a complete list. It can go on and on. But this kind of thing. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what Paul is saying in this passage is, this grace, which comes to us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, this grace teaches us, trains us, equips us, enables us to say no to ungodliness. In other words, there's a transformation that is continually taking place in our lives where when we are tempted, when we're in the midst of an environment where we might be tempted to do some ungodly thing, it teaches us, equips us to say no. That's what this grace does. That's what the gospel is all about. And so you might say, well, how does all that really work? Well, Galatians 5:6 tells us here, so I say, walk by the Spirit, which is a gift of grace, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. How do we say no? How are we equipped to say no? Through the gospel, which releases into our hearts the gift of the Holy Spirit, which equips us and empowers us so that when we are tempted, we are able to say no to whatever is trying to lead us into an ungodly life. Now, the great challenge to you and to me is, how do we access the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, so that we are skilled and we are equipped to to say no to the things that are ungodly. Because when I look around, I see that there are many times that we do ungodly things. Even in the church, as you look around, you see many people that are doing ungodly things, according to that list that I just read out. Therefore, the great challenge is, how do we access the grace that God has given us so that we can actually say no to the things that are ungodly? Well, I have a little story to tell you that gives us a bit of an example of this. When we were travelling up north, and we were travelling in convoy, there was some friends of ours towing a caravan, sometimes behind us, usually in front of us. And one day, as we were way out in the Never Never, we had a radio call from our friend, because we had two-way radios to keep in contact with one another. And he said, "I lost all power. I can't go on." So we had to turn around and go back. And here was our friend with his big four-wheel drive and powerful diesel engine, absolutely powerless. He couldn't go on. His engine would run. He could put it into gear. He could drive, but it would only go very, very slowly. And he couldn't access the full power that he had in that engine. And so he was scratching his head, and we wondered what to do. Finally, we had to get the car and caravan towed 200 kilometres into Port Hedland, which cost quite a lot of money, by the way. But anyway, we got into Port Hedland. It was Sunday, I think it was Saturday, actually, and there was a garage open there that said, "We'll work on it all weekend for you." The garage worked on the car all weekend. $2,200 later, the car was not fixed. All the hours that had been put into that car, it wasn't fixed. And so they were scratching their heads, and day after day, the mechanic was trying to work out how to fix this big, powerful diesel, which engine was perfect, nothing wrong with the engine, but we couldn't access the power. Sounds like you and me, doesn't it? We have this amazing gospel, the great gospel of grace, but often we're not accessing the power. We find that there's something wrong. And so the mechanics could not work out what was wrong with this diesel engine. Finally, we sent it to somewhere else. We sent it to a Toyota agent. It wasn't a Toyota car, but we sent it to a Toyota agent who were handling this particular brand of car. And so they went through things in a very methodical, professional way. And in 2 days, they found the answer, and they fixed the car, and the power was accessed, and off we went for the rest of our journey. But we had spent 2 whole weeks waiting, powerless, unable to access the power of this engine. And guess what caused that engine to lose its power? Next picture, I think, up here. My friend is pointing to that little yellow wire. Can you see that yellow wire? It's as big as the distance between the end of my thumb and the first knuckle. 25 millimetres long, and that little tiny wire had a crack in it, just one crack. And between one end of that wire and the other end of that wire is a computer, a sensor, and because the message wasn't getting through to the computer shut down the engine. No communication, no power. No communication, no power. How's your communication with Jesus? How is your communication with the Holy Spirit? No communication, no power. That engine could not pull the caravan because there was 25 millimetres of lack of communication between the head and the power plant. But you know, we have a head. His name is Jesus. And we are filled with the power plant of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit within us. And it's only just a little bit of distance between us, just 25 millimetres, if I can use that metaphor, of distance between us and our head. And all we need to do is make that communication. And as we make that communication, we find that we have the power to say no to temptation when it comes. But folks, if we don't have that communication, we are unable to access the power, and therefore we find ourselves like my friend, his wife, and myself and my wife sitting in Port Hedland waiting for 2 weeks, even though we had the power and we had the vehicles and we had everything we needed, but we weren't communicating. We have everything we need, the Bible tells us, but it's communication that's lacking. We only walk with Jesus. What does the Bible say? Keep in step with the Spirit. We also have the power to say yes. Next slide. The power to say yes. So, the grace of salvation doesn't just leave believers in a defensive position. You know, we're not just sort of got our hands up saying, no, I'm not gonna do those things. But we are in an offensive position. We are in a proactive position of saying yes to godliness. We don't just resist temptation, but we are able, by the grace of God, through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that's been released to us, we are able to say yes to doing the things that are right. So the grace of God gives us that power. Again, it's the Spirit that administers this grace. So that the Lord is not only our rock and our fortress, but He is our light and our strength. I don't only find refuge in God through the Holy Spirit when my communication is mended and healed and strong, but I receive ability to go forward. And so our friend and I, we got our cars started and we went forward. It wasn't just a matter of saying no to what was wrong, but a matter of going forward. We almost turned back, by the way. We almost said, 2 weeks here, that's enough. Let's just go home again. And then we sat down and had a conference and said, no, we're going forward. We're not going to let this defeat us. And that's how it is with our Christian life too. The Lord is our light. He shines in our way. He's our strength, not just to say no, but to say yes. Yes to the things of God, to go forward. Next screen tells us that Spurgeon says, all that the believer has must come from Christ. It comes solely through the channel of the Spirit of grace. Next slide, please. Thank you. I think if we just go on to the next slide. Thank you very much. Right on to the next slide. Great. Here we go. Yep. Thank you. And it comes solely through the channel of the Spirit of grace. Moreover, as all blessings thus flow to you through the Holy Spirit, so also no good thing can come out of you in holy thought, devout worship, or gracious act, apart from the sanctifying operation of the same Spirit. So what it's saying here is, we can't really do anything apart from the Holy Spirit's power within us. We can't resist temptation, we can't do good. Even worship takes the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And of course that communication always being right, if we would see the accessing of that power that is within us. Then he finishes up by saying, the blessing of this day would be rich if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit. It would be impossible to overestimate the consequences of this sacred filling of the soul. Oh, that the channel might be open, that the communication wire might be not broken, that we might be so in touch with our head, with our master, with Jesus, that the grace would flow, the Holy Spirit would flow, and we would be filled, and filled with an ability to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. In other words, we would be keeping in step with the Spirit. And keeping in step with the Spirit, next screen, means that we are keeping in tune with the Spirit, keeping in synchrony, in harmony with the Spirit. I've discovered that the greatest hindrance to keeping in tune is noise. I don't know if you know this, but I used to tune pianos as kind of a part-time job while I was pastoring and doing other things. I tuned pianos. And sometimes when I'd go into a house to tune a piano and I'd get all my equipment set up there, somebody in some other room was playing a radio very loudly. And my greatest problem in trying to tune those notes was when somebody else was playing their music, and their music was coming into my electronic equipment, and it was making my little needle dance around, and I'm trying to tune the piano, but my needle's dancing around because there's noise. Noise. How many of you have tried to maybe tune in an FM radio? We've got a little two-way, I mentioned before, we've got a two-way system that we talk to one another when we're driving out in the caravan, out in the back blocks of wherever. And we use that also to tune into FM radio stations. Sometimes we tune into an FM radio station, but somebody will be talking, some caravans will be talking to one another on two-way, and we're trying to listen to the radio, and all of a sudden, this noise, someone will come in and say, Jill, did you see that kangaroo just down the road? And did you see this or did you see that? And here we are trying to listen to the radio, but there's noise coming in to the FM band that we're trying to listen to. Folks, I reckon that today, one of our greatest problems in communicating with our Heavenly Father is the noise of our society. The noise of our living. I don't mean literal noise, but I mean the distractions that are going on all around us. When you hear a message like this, you say to yourself, oh yes, I must communicate with Jesus. I must go and pray. And then let me ask you the question, what happens tomorrow? The message goes right out of your mind. You've made a few efforts, but they've failed. You give up. Communication is lost. And then you wonder why you stumble around. I wonder why I stumble around. And I can't really live the way I want to live. It's because I haven't pushed out that noise and allocated a space in my life where I can be quiet and where I can communicate with my God and I can listen to Him and I can read His Word and I can pray and I can seek His face and receive strength. We sing about sweet hour of prayer, where we can receive that communication and strength from the Holy Spirit. But it seems like we are so dependent upon the Sunday service for that strength. And between Sundays, it seems that often we don't really communicate with our Master. But folks, if we are going to communicate, if we are going to say yes to the things of God and no to the things that are ungodly, if we are going to receive the appearance of grace and the presence of Jesus into our lives, we must push noise apart from our lives every now and again, periodically, and devote quiet time. We used to call it a quiet time, remember that? Devotion was quiet time. Because we push noise out. And we're listening. And we're praying. And we're singing. And we're dedicated to communicating with our Savior. It used to be that Christians couldn't be Christians without prayer. It seems like that Christians are Christians today with very little prayer, with very little communications. Well, we saw a site right up, in fact, the farthest place we went to was Kununurra. Just out of Kununurra, there's a place called Ivanhoe Crossing. This is it on the screen. It's a crossing where the water pours over a concrete causeway. That's why it's called a crossing, Ivanhoe Crossing. Cars can drive across that crossway. You see where the knobbly concrete pillars are. In fact, our friend, we all got on board his four-wheel drive. We didn't drive my car because mine's on four-wheel drive, but we got on in his four-wheel drive and we went across that a couple of times. We went across. It was quite an interesting experience driving through the water that's pouring over the edge of that crossing, just out of Kununurra. But what was very interesting was that there were two pelicans. You can see one of them there. Two pelicans, and they were sitting there facing the water that was pouring towards them. Now, you don't need to be too clever to guess what they were doing. I'm sure our children could guess what those pelicans were doing. They were waiting for fish to come over that, because that's a great place to wait for fish, because you can see them coming over the edge of the crossing. Now, those pelicans were just so beautiful and they were so still and so quiet But that's not really true. You know what's going on underneath the water? Because can you imagine how strong that flow of water is there? Pouring over there. Those pelicans were sitting right up there, close enough to pick the fish out as they came through. What do you think's going on underneath the water? They could not stay there looking so peaceful and looking so still unless they were pedalling for their lives underneath. Now, when noise affected them, in other words, when a car drove across, they would stop pedalling and they would drift right away from the crossing. It was interesting to see. Every car that went across, they'd just drift away. When the cars were away, they'd pedal back and they'd wait right there, waiting for those fish to come over the edge of that crossing. And I thought, what an illustration of Christians. When there's noise on the bridge, we drift away. But when that noise is gone, when everything becomes quiet, we should be like the pelican and swim right up close and wait on God for the blessings to come to us, flowing from his rich bounty, pouring down his river of delights, pouring down from the river of grace, waiting, waiting, waiting. Those pelicans would wait all day. Just wait, 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 until they fed their inner being. Literally, they ate the fish and fed their inner being. And this is what it takes for us to be recipients of grace, we who believe in Jesus and who are Christians. If we would say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness, and if we would, as the last point I've got here says, if we had grace to persevere, if we would have that grace to persevere, then we need to be able to communicate, push out the noise, and wait like that pelican, waiting for the reception of food to fill his inner being. So the last thing we read about in this passage is that we have grace to persevere. Grace's no and yes prevail until the very end, to the completion, and include an eager heart to do good as well as to be righteous. Grace, in other words, provides patient endurance and hope. Listen to these verses. I've got a few. I don't know if I've actually got them written up, but I've listed them there. Oh, look at this one here. He will keep you strong to the end. Wonderful verse. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace helps us to say no, helps us to say yes, and helps us to persevere right through to the end. Now the problem is, I have seen some very fine Christians and even friends that have not lasted to the end. And yet this passage says, he will give us grace to get through right to the end, right to completion. Grace to finish. There's other verses too that say, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. And may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless. The one who has called you is faithful, he will do it. What's the answer? What's the secret here? How can we be those who constantly receive grace so that we can say yes and no at the right time and persevere to the end and know the experience of God coming to us, the Lord appearing to us and making himself real to us? What's the secret? Well, the secret has been mentioned many times in this message already, and that is our communication, our relationship, and our contact with our wonderful head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear folks, I cannot, you cannot, no one can live this kind of a life unless we are in positive communication with our Saviour through the power of the Holy Spirit. These are desperate times. We must not fail in our communication, in our worship and praise and prayer. We must not fail. Otherwise we will fail, and fail big time. Finally, these are testing times as we see people stumble, as we see society's foundations crumble, and as goalposts shift. We kick for this goal and we find out that the goalpost itself has shifted. Our society is so uncertain, unsure, and it's bringing severe challenges to people like us who are believers. But folks, there is no need to fear. And there is no need to stumble because we have the grace of God that will help us to say no and yes and persevere if we will only communicate and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, you may have a slight awareness that yesterday there was a football game on. Maybe you don't know that, but there was a football game on yesterday. And the Eagles, of course, were the victors by, I think it was 4 points. I watched the first quarter. 5 points, was it? I knew someone would know better than me. I watched the first quarter like most of you did, and our hearts were in our mouths because we thought, oh my goodness, this can't happen, can it? And then by the end of the game, of course, the Eagles had clawed their points back, and they won. Now, that was the end of a very, very long campaign, a whole season. But it seemed like that one match was one whole season long. And when one player was interviewed by one of the one of the interviewers yesterday, I was listening to what he said. He said, you know, we just knew that we had to keep on going. We just knew we had to keep doing the same things we'd always done and not panic and not change our tactics, but just keep on going. And he said, we knew that if we did, we would get there. And I thought, yes, Christians, are we hearing this? We need to keep doing the same things that we've done for 2,000 years. And one of them is seek God in prayer. One of them is seek God in worship. The other is separate time when we can be alone with Jesus. We've been doing it for 2,000 years, but it seems like in this generation, there's so much noise and distraction, we have pulled back. And we have become, many of us, maybe all of us in some way, have become like little broken 25 millimeter wires, where we're not communicating with the head. But if we would communicate with the head, how wonderful would be the result? How the water would pour over into our lives. And we would know great power in our lives to say no to ungodliness, yes to godliness, and yes to perseverance, and yes to doing good. We would be a different church and a different people if we would learn to do what we've been doing for 2,000 years, and that is be a people of prayer who call upon the name of the Lord our God. Oh, folks, this is the great secret, and this is the secret that we heard well explained on the MCG yesterday when a microphone was put in front of a football player. We just kept doing the same things we've always been doing, and we got there in the end. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us. Every one of us here, young and old, veteran or novice, help us, Lord, to be people who will push the noise out of our lives and seek your face and pray so that we may receive all the grace that comes to us through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help us to never forget. Help us to take action. Help us to do. Help us to obey, we pray. And then help us to experience the great and wonderful blessings of love and life, joy and peace that come from the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.